Hey guys, it's been a while. It feels like probably a couple weeks, I guess. But I just have been really busy, and you know, with everything with the holidays and stuff like that, and just stuff I've been going on, had stuff going on since I've, you know, been dealing with a lot and just had my surgery. So I've just been recovering, and everything was just really, you know, hard. So I just really haven't felt like honestly sitting down and recording a podcast. But today I just really wanted to go over some things and kind of have another catch-up video, and even talking about, you know, healing and just healing naturally from my surgery and where I'm planning on going forward in the new year, which, guys, it's 2020. The roaring 20s. I mean, it's crazy that it has been a full decade and that we're on a whole new year. And I just cannot believe how fast 2019 went. My end of the year was definitely not what I expected. I had a lot of things come up that were very unexpected and, you know, just went out the end of the year with a big bang, basically. I loved 2019 and also hated it at the same time, if that's even possible. I found a lot of amazing things in the year 2019. I met my amazing boyfriend. I even made some new friends. I got a new career, which is even crazier. That's probably the biggest thing that was the biggest change. So I went from being a nanny to working in insurance. I mean, talk about two crazy ends of the spectrum, for real. I mean, just insane. So doing that and everything was just crazy. And on top of that, trying to deal with my symptoms as much as I can and just trying to deal with, you know, having IBS. And then I went into a new surgery with my OBGYN because he wanted to test me for endometriosis. I was suffering from a lot of the same symptoms as that. And so definitely later on in the podcast, I want to get into what that was like and how I plan on going forward with the news that I did find out about things like from my surgery, basically. But I want to talk a little bit about the year 2020. And, you know, every year people always have goals or ambitions that they plan on succeeding in the new year. And I just always do that. And for some reason, this year just felt different. A lot of the times I plan those things like, oh, well, I'm going to, you know, work out every day, or I'm going to make a new friend, or I'm going to do this. And I just never do it. And then I feel like a failure at the end of the year. And instead of doing like ambitions, I guess, which I always will have those anyways, I always have goals for myself. But instead of just doing it like that, I really wanted to come up with a word. And that might be weird to some people. That's kind of like the new thing I've noticed. So is a lot of people are dealing with words and doing that instead of coming up with a list of things that they want to accomplish. And I totally think you can do both. There's nothing wrong with coming up with a list. I just think that it never really has worked in the past for me too well. So instead of that, I decided to come up with a word. And my word for 2020 is repair. Now, that might sound really strange to a lot of you, but that word, for some reason, just really popped in my head when I was trying to think of something. And it's kind of along the lines of like rebuilding. But I didn't want to use the word rebuilding because to me, rebuilding means like I'm rebuilding who I am. Like there was something wrong with me before and I needed to really just change everything of who I am. And that's not what I want to do. Instead, I want to repair who I am and repair the old me and make it, you know, not a new me, but just a more changed, a little bit of a person. Like, I don't really want to change who I am, but I just want to repair and fix the things that have been broken for so long that I've neglected and just haven't put any effort or any thought into fixing those things about myself. And with repair, I thought, you know, you repair things when things are broken, and I've just been broken for so long, and I've just had little things add up. And I think they're starting to affect me now. So that's why I decided on that word, because I really want 2020 to be the year of focusing on me and focusing on my health and my relationships and repairing things that I've been putting off for so long. And one of those things being me. That might sound really selfish to some of you guys, but I am probably the last person that I think of at the end of the day is myself. I always tend to put others first because a lot of times I don't want to have to think about or worry about my own issues. And so I just want to help and fix other people's problems first. And that's a good thing, as well as it is also a negative thing, because then I always put myself last and I neglect who I am and my needs. And that just starts to cause issues from a lot of other things. So I'm definitely super excited for this year to just dive on in and just, you know, be all about taking care of me and my health and my sanity and just enjoying 2020 and saying yes to a lot more things and also saying no to a lot of things. Saying no when I don't want to do something, because I know I struggle with that. I don't know how many of you guys do, but I always struggle with saying no to people. And that's just like the people pleaser in me. So I don't want to do that anymore for sure. I really just want to, you know, say yes when I want to do it and say no when I don't want to do it. So guys, I hope that you are having the best five couple of days of January so far. I hope that you guys are already accomplishing your goals that you're setting, and that I hope that you have some goals or have a word that you picked for this year, because that just makes it so much easier to accomplish so many things when you're so excited about the new year. So I wanted to go into a little bit about everything that happened with my surgery. I know some of you listening may or not have followed me on Instagram, and that's okay if you do or don't, but I have posted a little something about there, what I'm going through on my Instagram, but definitely not everything. It's just hard to put into words sometimes how I feel, and it's easier for me just to talk about it, which is kind of why I created this podcast. It's not about like, oh, I wish I had, or I hope that I have a lot of followers and people that listen, but it's just more about, for me, it's just a way for me to talk about how I feel and kind of venting in a way. And I know that my last podcast that I put out, I think was a couple of days or maybe a week or so before I went in for my surgery. So I kind of talked about how I have a lot of my concerns about endometriosis and infertility and everything with that, and just feeling like I'm in a lot of pain. And since I've had my surgery, I've had a couple of weeks to just kind of sit and think about everything that I've gone through and just kind of, you know, go through the motions and just try to deal with it. And I'm still trying to go, you know, along with everything that I've been feeling, but it's just definitely been hard. It's hard to wrap your head around sometimes. But I have definitely sat down long enough now and thought about what I want to say, and just, you know, it might seem like a mess and it's kind of scrambly because that's just how my brain is feeling about everything that I found out. So we can just get right on into it. So about 2 weeks ago on a Thursday, I had a surgery to basically see if I had endometriosis. My doctor thought that I could possibly have that because I was having a lot of the same symptoms as someone who suffers from that. And I also have been diagnosed with IBS. So a lot of the time, IBS and endometriosis will go hand in hand. And they get misdiagnosed a lot because people think like, oh, I just have IBS. And they think that's just it and that's that. And they try to cure it and they don't feel any better. And that's kind of what was happening to me. I was trying to cure my IBS and I was trying to, you know, think that this was it. This is why I don't feel good all the time and everything like that, and dealt with a lot of pain and just pain all the time. Like when I'm on my period, oh my God, the pain is excruciating. It is so painful. And I just thought that was normal. I thought that that was just, oh, that maybe that's just a side effect of my IBS. That's what the doctors keep telling me, you know. So when I finally went to my OBGYN doctor and told him the symptoms I'm feeling, he really wanted to do the surgery for endometriosis. And before that, I had an ultrasound done. And ultrasounds, they couldn't really find anything there because it's just so hard, I think, for them to see. The only way they can really see if you have endometriosis is if they actually go all the, like, they actually cut you open and can look everywhere. And especially where they found my endometriosis, they wouldn't have really been able to see that as well with an ultrasound. So he still wanted to do surgery, and he said, you know, if anything, it's just a thing to cross off our list that, hey, we found this, and if you have it, you know, we'll deal with it. If not, then at least you know you don't have it. And I'm like, okay, you know, all right. Now, I had no idea what to expect with this surgery. I have never known anyone or really, like, really anybody that has suffered from endometriosis or had the surgery. So I didn't really know what to expect. I was very scared. It was my very first surgery. I've had lots of scopes things like that before, but I've never actually been cut open or had scarring or anything like that. So I was very nervous and just didn't know what to expect. So on Thursday, I went to the hospital here in Charlotte, and I went to, it's like a one-day surgery thing where you're in and out, kind of. And I went there, and, you know, I did it. I went back at like 12 o'clock. It was like 12 or 1 o'clock. It was early. And I don't think I went back for surgery until like 4. So I sat there for like 4 hours, freaking out, super anxious, had an IV stuck in me. Like, I was ready to go, and they just took freaking forever. But, you know, that's hospitals for you sometimes. When things get backed up, they are really busy. So it was fine. So I had the surgery. Obviously, I don't remember any of it. I barely remember even like laying in the chair in recovery when my parents came, and then my boyfriend actually came and surprised me. And that was such a shock because I started crying. Like, I wasn't expecting to see him, and it was just overwhelming. And I was like so loopy. So like, I just was like, I'm a mess. I remember feeling a little bit of pain. I wasn't really like too much in pain yet because I think the anesthesia was still trying to wear off. So none of the pain had really kicked in yet. But my mom, you know, she helped me get dressed, and I got in the car, and we went home. And I hadn't really obviously talked to the doctor because I was so drugged up. But my parents went into a room and actually talked to him, and he showed them the pictures and everything that they had found. And so when I got home, you know, I really still didn't talk to my mom about what they had found. I mean, I was just so out of it still. I think I even FaceTimed like my friend. Like, I don't really remember doing that. Like, it probably seemed like I was fine, but I just don't remember the next morning, like, really what I talked about or what I said to her that night. So it's so funny. But I just, you know, was trying to go to sleep and just, you know, deal with it in the morning with whatever they found. In the middle of the night, I woke up and I was in so much pain. Whenever they do the surgery, they have to, well, first, they make 2 incisions on your sides and then in your belly button. And they did that, and it was just excruciatingly painful because they have to blow air into your diaphragm, and it makes it feel like your rib cage and your collarbone is broken. That whole night, I don't think I got 1 ounce of sleep because I was just in so much pain. I just couldn't feel like I could breathe. My stomach hurt. Everything just hurt. So, and I just couldn't get comfortable. Like, no matter where I laid, I just could not get comfortable. So finally, you know, I got some pain medication and got that all, you know, settled and cleared, and finally started to feel a little bit better. The next day, I had to work from home, so I just, you know, James went off to work. He actually stayed the night with me. James went off to work, and I stayed home and worked from home, and my mom came over and took care of me, like, the whole day, which she is a godsend. Love my mother and my dad and my boyfriend for taking care of me during this time because it was, not that I was a mess, but I was just a lot of everything, so I'm just hard to take care of because I really don't like people taking care of me. I usually just can take care of myself. So anyways, so the next morning, my mom, you know, sat down and we talked, and I said, hey, you know, what did they all find? And she, you know, she told me, she's like, well, yes, they did find endometriosis. So that was a shocker to me. It was almost overwhelming because I started to like cry because I just felt like, oh my God. For all these years, the doctors made me feel like I was crazy, that I just had anxiety, and that's why I was always in pain, and it was very frustrating. And with the endometriosis and stuff like that, I had that, and so they said they found it on my liver, and there was also spots of it in like the uterus area and like where it normally hangs out, but it was also found in my liver. So they burned off that. They couldn't burn all of it off because some of it was so small that it just can't be burned off. So don't know if you guys know much about endometriosis, but it's not curable. It's something that I'll have the rest of my life, and I'll probably always be in pain the rest of my life, which I've already come to the conclusion of that before when I had was told I had IBS, that I wasn't probably going to ever really feel normal again or feel like I'm not in pain. So I just knew that I had to take care of myself through my diet and through everything that I took and put in my body. And I was okay with that. So I thought, okay, well, I have endometriosis. Like, I can deal with that. The infertility rate for endometriosis is, you know, it's questionable. There's been lots of people that have kids that have endometriosis. So it doesn't mean if you have it that you automatically are going to be infertile. So I was okay. I was like, okay, like, I know this. I'm going to be fine. And then my mom was like, he also found something else. And I didn't really, I instantly, like, my heart felt like it went into my like stomach. I was like, what do you mean? Like, I started to joke. I'm like, oh, do you find like an alien down there? Like, what? And she was like, no, when they were looking for my endometriosis, they also decided to look at everything else just to make sure that everything else was okay. And while they were down there, they saw something called clubbing, which also is tubular disease. And clubbing or / tubular disease is where you have your little hair follicles, kind of what they look like. I don't really know what they're called, but they're like fallopian tube hair little follicles that whenever you're, you know, ovulating and stuff like that, and you have your eggs, and the hair follicles are supposed to kind of shovel in the eggs. And then if they're mixed with, you know, the boys' things, then they will create and make a baby. But the little follicles is what brings the eggs into your uterus so that you can have a baby. So for me, on my fallopian tubes, I have basically a block or what looks like a club that they would use back in the old time to fight and all that stuff. And so my little hair follicles are blocked. So the clubbing allows no eggs to be drawn in because it can't grab anything with the blockage right in front of it. Now, you can have surgery to get that removed, but my doctor even highly suggested not doing that just because of the complications that can come with it, and I could also damage my fallopian tubes altogether with doing that. And I haven't really had too much of, I haven't had an appointment yet. I actually go next Friday with my doctor to really talk about everything and to see like exactly what is going on and see the pictures, but just based off of everything that he talked about with my parents, that's all I know of right now. I don't know too much more about tubular disease or endometriosis for all that matter. I don't really know a whole lot about it. I'm knowing what I'm researching on my own. But with tubular disease is obviously if I can't get eggs into my uterus, then I won't be able to have a baby naturally. Now, I totally believe in God and I believe in his miracles, and I know that crazy things happen to people that were told they were never going to have children and they always do. But when you're 26 years old and you're already told that you're going to have a chance of never being able to naturally have your own baby, the only way I could possibly have a baby is through IVF or through, you know, surrogacy or an adoption or fostering or anything. But naturally, I won't be able to have my own baby. And possibly not be able to carry my own baby with everything else that I have going on, along with my stomach issues as well. And that was just really hard to hear. I obviously started to cry, and I felt a sense of loss and emptiness at first. And it was really overwhelming just being told that, because, you know, you want to be positive and you want to believe in the best that, you know, you're going to be able to carry a baby, Mackenzie, that you're going to have no problem having a child, and God has got this, and he's got you, and he's going to let you have a kid if it's in your story to have a child. But it was just really, really difficult to hear that, and I'm still trying to deal with it. I'm still really heartbroken over it, and I keep questioning God, like, why me? why am I going through all these problems? Why do I have all these medical issues? And why can't I just be normal? And it makes me feel guilty for my family and for my boyfriend who didn't ask for this. They didn't ask to have a daughter, to have all these issues. And my boyfriend definitely didn't ask to have a girlfriend with all these medical problems. And it makes me feel honestly very guilty and horrible that I'm putting my loved ones through this with me. And I know they don't feel that way. They love me anyways, and they don't see it as a problem, but that's just how I've been feeling lately. And it's been really hard to express that because that's just like how I feel. I just feel bad. And I just especially feel bad for my boyfriend. Like, he came into this and I've had nothing but problems since he started dating me, between my eating disorder and medical wise with my stomach and now this. And the one thing that I want to do when I'm older and we're married is give him a baby. I want to be able to give him a child. That's what he wants. That's what I want. We want our own family one day. And to know that I could possibly be the factor that I am never able to give him that just honestly breaks my heart. It makes me feel so bad. And it's just been really hard, honestly. It's been very hard. And it feels like no one understands and no one gets it. And also, on top of everything, I'm still in pain. I still feel not that great. And so it's frustrating that even after the surgery and everything I went through, like, thankfully I found out what is wrong with me, but I'm still in pain. I don't feel any better. So just trying to deal with all of those emotions. And, you know, it's just not the best way to end your year and or begin with my year 2020. But that is why I want to change my attitude and change my thinking, basically, of the year 2020. I want it to be such a great year. And I want to change so many things and just become a better me and a healthier me and just to really take care of my body and become knowledgeable. And, you know, in Charlotte, we don't really have much support or awareness for endometriosis or really infertility for all that matter. There's no walks or runs or fundraisers for people that suffer from endometriosis and maybe helping to find a cure for it, because there's obviously medicines that you can take for endometriosis, but there's no cure. And honestly, the medicines are awful. They have a lot of bad side effects, and it's just not worth it sometimes to me to take it. I'm very anti-medication for the rest of my life, so I definitely just want to heal myself naturally as possible. But I really want to just get out there in Charlotte and create maybe a support group or create a walk for, you know, not just endometriosis, but all chronic illnesses, people that suffer from these illnesses and there's no cure for them and there's no way that you can even see that this person has that, because that probably is the most heartbreaking and saddest thing is, you know, people know I'll have this, but they won't like see me. You know, it doesn't show up on my skin. It's all internal. So I'm just in pain all the time. And it's people like, well, just get over it. Or, you know, just stay calm. Or, you know, put your girl, big girl panties on and, you know, suck it up. And, you know, I just, it's harder to hear those things sometimes. And I know a lot of people with chronic illness can deal with that if their, you know, sickness doesn't show, if it's a hidden sickness almost. So I just really want to get out there and help people and just be supported and surrounded by positiveness during this really, really hard time. But yeah, guys, that is all I have to talk to you about today. Thank you so much for listening. And if you want to, you guys can follow me on Instagram. I will link it. And also, I have created an Endo Sister. I think it's EndoSister26 is my other Instagram that I created, that I will be posting all of my stuff about infertility and endometriosis. And it's just a way for me to also connect to other EndoSisters. So yeah, I hope that you guys have an amazing weekend, an amazing week, and I will talk to you guys soon.